Here in Boston, we're sorry to say, or come to think of it, we're not so sorry to say, the baseball season is over. Yeesh, the Red Sox finished dead last in the American League East, 26 games behind the first-place New York Yankees, their worst record since 1965. And yesterday, after only 1 year, and to the surprise of no one, they fired manager Bobby Valentine, who promptly got on his bike and went for a ride, perhaps relieved to be relieved of his duties at Fenway Park. Well, other managers and their teams are getting to work in Washington, Cincinnati, San Francisco, Oakland, New York, and Detroit, home to Triple Crown winner Miguel Cabrera. Those cities will host games in the National and American League playoffs that begin this weekend. Play ball. And we want to talk baseball with Joel Sherman of the New York Post. Joel, welcome.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. And Joe Lemire, who covers baseball for Sports Illustrated. Joe, welcome to you as well.
Hi, thanks for having me.
And Joel, let's get this out of the way. Now, you wrote recently you thought going into the season that Bobby Valentine was in a great spot taking over the Red Sox after the team literally came apart at the seams the season before, you know, pitchers eating chicken and drinking beer during games. What went wrong?
Well, besides everything, nothing. The thing with Bobby was, if you knew his history, the three previous places he had been, Texas, New York, and in Japan, he took over teams that needed to be built from the ground up. If you talked to him the day of his press conference, you would have thought he was in heaven. He had a ready-made team. Yeah, the team had stumbled in September 2011, but it had won championships recently. It still seemed to have a championship roster. He got what he thought he wanted, and it turned into a nightmare from the beginning. The team had problems from the top of management to the bottom of the roster, and the manager turned into a fuse lit that just made it worse. It was, I wrote this on my Twitter page yesterday, the only thing they did well together, Bobby Valentine and the Red Sox, is help ruin each other's reputations further.
Oh, well, there. Okay, that sums it up. And we just, you know, does this mean now that ownership has to take a real hard look at the players? I mean, we were hearing stories about players upset because he had the nerve, Bobby Valentine had the nerve, to ask something of another player, and so they convened a big meeting with management. I mean, how would you assess it? Do they really have to look hard at the players now?
I think they need a giant mirror. The fact that ownership and the baseball management of the team engage the players in private meetings about the manager, it just does not feel like that's how quality teams are run.
And Joe Lemire of Sports Illustrated, I want to ask you about one other thing that we're going to put aside, but just note, because Pittsburgh might feel better looking over at the Red Sox season, although Pittsburgh did make history this year. Oh, wait, not the kind you want. Pittsburgh had their 20th straight losing season, a record not just in baseball, but in every North American sports league. I mean, just what happened there?
Any number of things happened there in the second half, and it's really hard to pinpoint just one. The Pirates, over the past two decades, never even sniffed a competition, never seemed to be having even a remote chance of making the playoffs. But the past 2 years has had a pretty familiar arc. They sort of hovered around in 500 in April and May. They caught real fire in June and July. And then, unfortunately, August and September just had historic collapses.
Oh, so sad. The worst, you know, or maybe the best losing record in all of sports. I mean, just really, really tough. So our sympathy out to our friends in Pittsburgh. But meanwhile, let's take a look at the high points. And Joe, another question for you about Miguel Cabrera. This is the Detroit Tigers third baseman who wins the Triple Crown, leads the American League in home runs, runs batted in, and batting average. The first Triple Crown since Carl Yastrzemski of our Red Sox back in 1967. What about Cabrera? Put his season into perspective for us.
This is a truly remarkable accomplishment. Of course, there are also points that you can make that maybe batting average and RBIs are overvalued as statistics, and that this maybe wasn't even Miguel Cabrera's best individual season, but certainly he, Prince Fielder, Justin Verlander, three of the biggest stars in the game, have the Tigers ready to go in the postseason.
Okay, well, let's take a look at the season. Joe Lemire of Sports Illustrated, help us with this. Detroit, Cabrera's team, won the American League Central. The Tigers' first-round series is against the Oakland A's, who came from way back to win the American League West. So A's would seem to have the momentum.
Oakland's had the best record in the entire major league since June 1st. You know, they have five rookies in their starting rotation. They have four positions in the lineup where they're alternating players in a platoon every single day. They've been managed well. They lack major stars, but they just do everything well. They're very fundamentally sound.
And Joel Sherman of the Post, of course. Take a look at the Yankees, the other division winner in the American League. We don't know who their opponent's going to be yet because the American League wildcard winner won't be decided until later today. The Baltimore Orioles playing the Texas Rangers in a one-game playoff. And by the way, just briefly, could you explain that? Because didn't there used to be just one wild card winner in every league?
For a long time now, it's been kicked around. Should there be a second wild card added as a way to honor the division champ? Baseball's a long season. It's 162 games. You want that to decide your fate. The last thing you want to do is get into a one and done. You know, if you pull out any day in the season, you'll find days where the Chicago Cubs or Houston Astros or Kansas City Royals win. Anything can happen in a single day, and you don't want anything as mercurial to come up on your schedule. So by adding the second wild card and forcing the two wild cards to play each other, instead of just have one wild card go to a best of five and essentially, aside from losing one home game, be in the same boat as teams that won the division, they added a second wild card. So today we're going to, you know, play one and dones in the National and the American League, and we're going to have a bunch of bizarre stuff because I think, you know, take a look at the National League. I think you can make a good case that Atlanta or St. Louis could win the World Series, and yet by about 9 o'clock tonight, one of them is going to be done playing baseball for the season.
And we should explain, the National League wildcard game is the St. Louis Cardinals against the Atlanta Braves. The Cardinals won the World Series last year, and so the winner of this game will move on to play the Washington Nationals.
Correct. And you've got in the American League, you've got Baltimore playing Texas. Texas is the two-time defending American League champion. Last year, they were within one strike twice of winning the World Series. They led the American League West from April 9th to the last day of the season. I think it's 176 straight days, but they needed 177. And by not leading on that 177th straight day, they're going to be in a situation tonight where they have to, you know, it's one and done. You win, you go on. You lose, your season's over. And they didn't lead long enough. And it also creates this bizarre situation. The New York Yankees have a workout tonight at 7 o'clock. They're doing that to stay on time, to work out at night because their games are going to be at night. But they're also doing that because then they have to get on a plane. They just don't know where that plane is going. And so they're going to be in a situation where they're going to finish a workout, eat some dinner, and sit and watch a TV and leave it about midnight when they finally know who they're playing.
Oh, my heart bleeds.
Well, I guess it's better to have to eat the dinner and get on a plane than right now be thinking about where you're hunting and fishing junk is.
Right, right. Joel Sherman, who covers baseball for the New York Post and obviously has covered the Yankees for years. Okay, so both Joel and Joe Lemire of Sports Illustrated, I'm going to put you on the spot. We have these wacky, like as you said, one-and-done wild card games. Who do you think is going to make it through? Who's the final two?
I think the Rangers rally from their poor September and their overall talent level puts them through back to the World Series, only this time they win it over the Atlanta Braves.
Okay. Joel Sherman.
Keeping in mind that I am the worst predictor in the history of the game, I picked the Giants to go to the World Series before the season started. I'm going to stick with San Francisco in the National League. And for some reason, I think Detroit's just about to get hot and get through and that they have three great stars in Verlander, Fielder, and Cabrera, and that they're going to carry them through.
Okay. So you will either be wearing a hair shirt and eating your words, or you will be saying, I told you so, and we will see. Joel Sherman of the New York Post, Joe Lemire of SportsIllustrated.com. Thank you both.
All right. No problem.
Okay. Here and Now is a production of WBUR Boston in association with the BBC, World Surface, and PRI. I'm Robin Young. Have a great weekend, and please join us again here and now.
Funding for Here and Now comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software. Find over 200 job openings at MathWorks.com.
PRI, Public Radio International.